Last Wednesday, I attended a small gathering of pastors at Cornwall United Methodist Church. As part of the meeting, our district superintendent, the Reverend Jenny Freimoyer, led a short Bible study on Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. It's known as Mary's Song. And it's Mary's response to the visit of Elizabeth. She gives voice to God's power and majesty and her gratitude for it. And we read the passage three different times and discussed a question posed by Jenny after each reading. One of the questions was, what are you grateful for? And we discussed them in a small group of three of us and then in the larger group. And after a few moments of reflecting, my answer was, and she didn't know this is coming, I'm thankful for Cheryl's love. For she has continued to love me, even when I am unlovable. And believe it or not, there are moments when I am unlovable. Her love for me is about as steadfast a love as I can think of. I'd like to say it comes from all of my wonderful qualities. But she knows me about as well as anyone is capable of knowing another person. She knows my failings and my shortcomings, and no matter what, she continues to love me. And as steadfast as Cheryl's love for me is, it pales in comparison to the love of God. Now, it's difficult for us to comprehend the depths of that love. And over the years, there's one thing that I've learned about the nature of God's love that's helped me to realize just how unfathomable it is. And we can be grateful, for we are God's beloved children. The love of parents is another example of that kind of love. And would anyone disagree with the fact that parenting is hard? And there are many reasons for it being hard. Now, some of them of our own making. Others are from the making of our children. Unless you're from a different planet, you have probably gotten angry with your children from time to time. Now, the book of Hosea describes God's love for God's people. And the text presents us with a picture of God's steadfast love. And you know, we read scriptures and we try to understand, and really, sometimes the only way that we can do so is to try to compare using our own life experiences. We try to understand things in human terms. And so, in trying to understand God's love, we can't help but look at our own experiences of love. And yet, as steadfast as a love as we can point to, you can be sure that our love falls short of God's steadfast love. And the prophet Hosea insists that in spite of all of the past sins and crimes that the people of Israel had committed, and they were many, that God remained faithful. It seemed like that God couldn't help but love the people of Israel when they were mere children. He loved them. But the more that he called them, the more they went the other way, complaining, worshiping idols. Sound familiar? Complaining and worshiping idols doesn't exist just in biblical times, does it? God's described as pleading with them. The more I called them, the more they went away from me. Yet it was I who taught them to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they didn't know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was them to like them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. I have a picture in my mind of taking care of an infant, you know, bending over to pick them up, holding them close, feeding them. But despite the tender, loving care of God, the children of Israel continued to turn away. And even though God's anger and wrath could be justified, for some unknown reason, God cannot resort to punishment. Discipline, yes. Punishment, no. According to the prophet Hosea, all those TV evangelists have it wrong. You see, according to the prophet, God says, how can I give you up? How can I hand you over to your enemies? Even though the sins of the children of God are many and God's wrath would be justified, he declares, my heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy my children, for I am God and no mere mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. That's right. God says, I oughta. You're needing it, but I'm not going to do it. And we might make the excuse that, well, God is God, and we're not. Faced with the choice of anger or grace, God chooses grace. Faced with the option of anger or mercy, God chooses mercy. No matter what we might think of what should be, God is determined to give us grace. And although we would much rather have rules and regulations that tell us how to live, despite the fact that we would like to be able to do something, that would assure us of God's love and acceptance. God is determined to love and accept us as we are. And there is nothing that we can do about that. And I can't help but imagine that God must feel sadness when we turn away. He does not give us up. And Hosea tells us that God's heart recoils within and his compassion grows warm and tender, and that he won't execute his anger. And it'll be that way forever. Many years ago, Cheryl and I visited Niagara Falls. I had to stop and think why we went there, and I think we were coming back from Ottawa, from a marathon I ran up there. And while we were there, we put on rain suits and a rain hat, and we went behind the falls. And standing behind the rushing water, I was struck by the awesome power of God. And as I watched the force of the water pounding on the rocks below, images of a mighty, forceful God flooded my mind. The wrath of God frightened me. And I began to wonder to myself, knowing the real me, you know, and maybe it's pretty good here, but sometimes it's not so good here. The heart's good, but the thinking's not. I began to measure my own brokenness against the majesty of God. And I found myself coming up more than a little short. Images of God's wrath flooded my mind. No wonder we fear God. No wonder we all too often look at God and expect anger or rage or judgment. But then I looked at the face of my companion. And at that moment, I saw God. Not in the awesome power of the falls. I saw God in the love of my companion. I saw the God of grace. And looking back at the falls, I wondered to myself how many tears God had shed as a result of my brokenness. And I wondered how much God had suffered as a result of my desire to turn away from him. How often had he been moved to tears as a result of my rejecting him? But yet the longer that I looked at the falls, the more beautiful they became, the more awesome they became. For the picture in my head changes from God's anger to God's grace, pouring over the falls. In the words of the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Thank God for his steadfast love, for the wonders of his works with us as his children. Let those who are wise give heed to those things and consider the steadfast love of God. For you see, the Holy One refuses to come in wrath. His compassion grows warm and tender. He's in our midst right now. And he continues to love us forever. Now, Hosea is an Old Testament prophet. And you may think that his words are completely irrelevant for us today. But our gospel lesson from Mark shows that that steadfast love continues with Jesus. For the people bring children to him and so that he can touch them and bless them. But the disciples want to push the children away. And when Jesus saw this, he was upset and said, "Allow the children to come to me. Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." We are God's beloved children, and he continues to call us. Paul wrote in his letter to Titus, "But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sin, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Faithful God, you have continued to love your people despite our faithlessness to you. Receive our thanks for never giving up on us. And God's people said, Amen.